It's good to see everyone this morning. I would like to encourage you to turn in your New Testaments to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we will be beginning in just a few moments' time. While you're turning there, I would like to mention again that this evening Brother Josh Cox will be preaching for us, and that is our intent to have on the second Sunday evening of each month, have one of our men proclaim a message from God's Word. And I wanted to again explain the reason for that and the purpose for it. And while it is beneficial to me to get the week off, or at least an evening off, and to have an opportunity to hear rather than preach, the primary purpose of this is to develop the abilities of the men. That's an extremely important thing to do, because as they get the experience and have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Christ, it instills in them some ability and also some confidence. And that is something that is beneficial to their growth. It is likewise beneficial to the growth of the congregation to see that kind of thing. It's certainly an encouragement. But I would like to remind you of that so that as each month passes and men with varying degrees of skill and experience get up to proclaim the gospel, how important a work that is and how beneficial it is to them and to us. And I would like to encourage you to be an encouragement to them in those efforts. And as such, we can grow together. Ephesians chapter 3 is going to be the text that we're going to utilize for the lesson this morning, a very simple lesson as we describe the mystery of Christ. I want to begin with reading verses 1 through 7 of the text to start off our time together. The Apostle Paul says, "For this reason I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy prophets and apostles, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace, the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." Now, in this particular context, you'll notice he is especially talking to the Gentiles. And we want to note that the Apostle Paul was given that gift of ministering to the Gentiles. It was given to him by our Lord. We are given the recording of that occasion in Acts chapter 9, related by Paul on another occasion, in Acts chapter 22, God had given him a special purpose in appointing him as one born out of due time to an apostleship, to be an ambassador for him to the Gentiles. We read in our Bible class this morning from the text of Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14, where the apostle Paul had admonished Peter because he had played the hypocrite, withdrawing himself from the Gentiles when those Jewish Christians had come to be with them. And he indicated that that dispensation was given to Peter to preach to the circumcised, but it was given to him as an apostle of Christ to preach to the uncircumcised, to the Gentile. What it was he preached was the mystery of Christ. Now, I do want to note how many times in the entirety of the third chapter there is a reference made to knowing and to understanding. Notice in verse 3, first of all, he made known to me the mystery. In verse 5 of the text, it has been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. And as we get into the text, it will be shown that that mystery, by being revealed to the apostles and prophets in their preaching, by reading them, notice, for example, in verse 4, by reading them, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. So when we talk about the mystery, we have reference to that which is revealed to the apostles and prophets and disseminated by them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it is stated as a mystery, that means that at some point in time, it was not made known. And as you read through the scripture, you find out that indeed the formation of the gospel of Christ was not revealed until such time as Christ had died. He indicated to his disciples that there were many other things that he needed to teach them, but that he would be unable because it was his lot, his purpose, as Dennis indicated before us as we were remembering the supper, it was his purpose to die on the cross and shed his blood. But he gave a promise to his disciples that he would send the Comforter who would guide them into all truth. He would reveal to them that mystery in its fullness. And he did so. And so they preached it. And by preaching it, the mystery was revealed. So those who were before, who had no knowledge, or at least a limited knowledge, they saw through a veil darkly. We today have a full understanding of the nature of that redemption, and that it is in Jesus Christ. And so that mystery has been revealed. And the purpose of that mystery was to preach. Now I do want you to note in our context, in verse 6, that he is especially emphasizing one aspect of that mystery. And that is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. I would like you to turn with me just very quickly back to Acts, the 11th chapter. Acts chapter 11. And I want to remind you of the occasion where this first became known. In Acts, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Peter was given instructions to go and to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And as we look at the description that is given of Cornelius in verse 1 of chapter 10, just one chapter previously, we are told that he was a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. But he was not a Jew. He was an Italian. And so as we look at that particular thing, him being a Gentile, instructions were given to Peter to come to him, and he proclaimed the gospel message to Cornelius and his household because he had been directed to do so by God. Now, of course, that would be something that would raise questions, because up until this time, the gospel had only been preached to the circumcised. But Peter defended his action to the Jews in Acts chapter 11. We're told that in verse 1, the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. In other words, they thought it was something that was inappropriate. They said, "You went into uncircumcised men and you ate with them." We're told in verse 4 that Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. And after he had related to them what he had been taught by the Holy Spirit, the vision that he had received, the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been given to them, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that had been given to the Gentiles as well, I want you to notice the conclusion that he came to in verse 16 of Acts chapter 11. He said, "I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" And when they heard these things, this is the Jews, they became silent and they glorified God, saying that God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. And so a part of that mystery, a very important part of that mystery, is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. The Apostle Paul became a minister of the gospel for the specific purpose of sharing that message to the uncircumcised, to share that message to the Gentiles who are without. Now, continuing in our reading, beginning in verse 8, I would like to go through verse 13 now. As we recognize that the mystery was revealed through the preaching of the gospel, he continues and says this, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Now looking then at verse 8 of the text, I want you to note again how many times here, with regard to the concept of it being preached or proclaimed, they would understand. He says there in verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles, and to make, verse 9, make all see, verse 10, that it might be made known. Now we've already talked about his preaching, that it was made known to him, that they would understand, it has been revealed. The purpose of the proclamation of the gospel of Christ is so that people might understand. And what that indicates to us is the ability of each and every one of us to understand the mystery of Christ. While it was beyond the pale of those who went on before, because they could only see through a veil darkly, it has been fully revealed to us so that there is no excuse on our part. It is proclaimed. The intent is that in that proclamation of the truth, we might be equipped to proclaim it as well, so that individuals might know the mystery fully. They might have an awareness. They might see what is that mystery. And that is a purpose that has been given to the church. Notice in verse 10 of the text, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. You might also note the way in which it is referred to in this text. In verse 3, it is referred to as the mystery. Verse 4, the mystery of Christ. The gospel that we are partakers of this promise in Christ through the gospel. Verse 8 of the text, the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 9, the mystery. Verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God. And then, as we'll get into a little bit later, in verse 19, the love of Christ. These are all phrases referring to that redemption that has been revealed to man. It's described in various ways in this particular text. Now, what I want to note especially with regard to this second section of Scripture is the intent or the reason or the purpose behind Paul's preaching. You'll notice verse 10. Verse 10, it says, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It is the intent of Paul to equip. We talk about the work of the apostles, the work of the prophets, as well as the work of elders, the work of preachers, the work of teachers. It is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It is so that we all might have an ability to share that message so that all may have an understanding of God's will for man. It is the eternal purpose of God that all men might know His gospel, that all men might come to a knowledge of the truth to the salvation of their souls. We have been given instructions to go and make disciples of every nation. The apostles were told, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And so it is our purpose, it is our place to go and to preach that message. Now, I want you to note again that it is that gospel that is found in Christ. Notice verse 11. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this is a sentiment, basically a primary point that is made throughout the entirety of the book of Ephesians, but it has its genesis in the first few verses of that text. I want you to notice going back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. The statement made by the Apostle Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So up till this point, the indication again is that we receive this through Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on earth, to the praise and glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now notice verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. There's a reference again to the mystery. This is all intended from before the time that the world began to be accomplished in Christ Jesus. That in, verse 10, the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one. Now that's key. That's key as we understand what we're talking about in the third chapter is how it applies to the Gentiles. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that relates to us that which was in the mind of God before the world began, accomplished through Christ, the bringing together of all in Him for redemption. This is the mystery which has been revealed. The Apostle Paul understood it. He shared it with them here in this particular epistle. We have awareness of it as well so that we can know. We can understand. It has been revealed to us as well. So he says in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 3, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." The Apostle Paul was willing to suffer, and he was willing to suffer enormous consequences in regard to his preaching the gospel. Suffer greatly because of his love for them and desire that they may be able to understand and to accept what it is that he had been made known, or that had been made known to him, in his ministry. And so with this, keep in mind the latter part of the chapter, verses 14 through 21. 14 through 21, if you'll read with me. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, and to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this is the third point. He talks about how in the first section, verses 1 through 7, that the mystery had been revealed to him, and the purpose of his preaching it or proclaiming it to them is so that they might be equipped, that they may share it with others, that all may know. But thirdly, in verses 14 through 21, the benefits that accrue to those who have that understanding is something that the Apostle Paul had himself received and himself been benefited by. But he wanted them to recognize just what they would receive in understanding this mystery. He said in verse 16 of the text that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So there is strengthening that comes as a result of knowing this great mystery. When we talk about living for Jesus, we recognize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we are not on our own, that with God's help and Christ's help, we can accomplish everything that is necessary to be pleasing to him. That's the benefit of having such knowledge. We talked about these phrases that we find in verses 1 through 21, all of them about the fact that it's known, and because of that we understand it. It's been revealed to us. We can see it. He says down in verse 18, we will be able to comprehend, and in verse 19, that we'll be able to know. Notice what it is that we are able to comprehend as we're strengthened with his might. And Christ is dwelling in our hearts through faith. As a result of that, being grounded and rooted in love, we first will be able to comprehend, verse 18, with the saints what is the height, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ. And so this is that concept that is so important for us to acknowledge, his love. We talk about the importance of love in the interaction that we have with one another. We in a ladies' Bible class on Wednesday morning have been talking about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The idea there are three things that abide: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. When we talk about the signatory characteristic of the child of God, because we are God's children, because Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and we are given that spirit of adoption, it must be love, because God is love. And everything about his expression to man is motivated by that love for mankind. He sent his Son because he loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as we contemplate what God has done in sending his Son and what Jesus accomplished in his death on the cross at Calvary, that great love, the breadth of it, the width of it, the height of it, the depth of it, is something that we can have a knowledge of, an understanding of. God loved the unlovable. While we were yet in our sins, he sent his Son Jesus. Though we were guilty of such transgressions, though we had shown ourselves as being rebellious children, he nevertheless sent his Son Jesus to die for us. And it's an interesting thing to note that he was willing to do that. That he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus loved the world so much that he was willing to die on the cross and shed his blood on the cross at Calvary because of his love for us. We can know the length and again the depth and the height and the width and the love of Christ as we see it demonstrated in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. And in verse 19 of the text, as we know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, as a result of that we may be filled with the fullness of God. And so we need to acknowledge just how great that love was. And we need to focus on that love extended to us, because as we do that, it gives us the proper motivation to love Him because He first loved us and to accomplish His will for us as we live on this earth. Now in verse 20 and 21, to end this particular section of Scripture, He says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. This is a doxology. This is an expression of the greatness of God. But it's demonstrated in the mystery revealed. I want you to note again what it is that God has done for us. Notice back in chapter 2, in verse 1 of the text, we are told that you He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Such a wonderful expression of our salvation, redemption in Christ Jesus. We recognize that it is through Him that we are empowered, and only Him. And that is inclusive of both Jew and Gentile. Each and every one of us were in our sins and dead in those trespasses and sins. But we have been made alive in Christ. That's the mystery that has been revealed. It is a mystery that the Apostle Paul felt was the most important thing that he could proclaim. He made it his life's work. He said, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ. He preached it to the Jews. He preached it to the Gentiles. He had that special dispensation that had been given to him to proclaim it to those who are without, so that they might be brought near. But each and every one of us, no matter who we are in need of the mystery revealed. And in having it revealed to us, it equips us. It brings us that redemption. We are saved by grace through Jesus Christ. It gives us the opportunity to make it known to others, so that through the proclamation of that truth to others, they might know as well the mystery revealed. Brethren, we are to be about the business of proclaiming that message, of being appreciative of what God has given to us, and as a result of that, be motivated to share that message to others. We're going to offer an invitation at this time to anyone who's here, who's not obeyed the gospel of our Lord up to this point. If that's the case, we desire that you come to the Lord, that you may grasp hold of the blessings that come through Christ Jesus and Him alone. We offer ourselves to you in that regard. If you're not a child of God, we call upon you to repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you're here and a child of God and there is something amiss in your life, or there is some needed encouragement that we can offer to you, we offer ourselves to you as well. The invitation is yours. If there is a need, will you come? All together we stand while we sing.